Hello, welcome to OT Conversations. I am your host, Hal. In this episode, I'd like to talk about the different discharge outcomes of your patients. Let's go for a scenario that you are working in the hospital. And when you're working in a hospital, if it's an acute hospital, you would have a certain number of discharge pathways or discharge scenario. And these are the ones that I'd like to explore with you. Scenario number one, a person will be discharged straight home. No issues, no drama. So after attendance to the hospital, the doctors have seen the person and they can be discharged home safely. Is there a role for occupational therapist on situations like this? Likely. You can do screening. So the activity that you need to do is screening. Perhaps you go in, you establish the baseline, you look at the procedure as to what the person would be coming or what the reason. You look at the reason why the person was admitted for. And if you can see that there's no functional implications to it, to the condition, say they have some abdominal pain and they sorted out some investigations, then there's no functional implications, then yes, straightforward discharge. So you could have done a quick assessment, you could have done a screening assessment and discharge. Is it beneficial to see the person? Yes. Why would it be beneficial for the person to be seen by occupational therapist? Because it guarantees that the person would be safe and that the multidisciplinary team will be reassured that the person is going to be safe. That is discharge option number one. Discharge independently, without any aids, without anything. Scenario number two is the person can be discharged, but with some sort of difficulty, and they needed a little help from their next of kin, from family. So these are informal support. So discharge with informal support. So what are the informal support that patients can get? They can have informal support for shopping, for example. They can have informal support for day-to-day tasks like meal preparation, domestic tasks, cleaning, laundry, generally those kind of things. So these informal support can be provided by family, can be provided by their next of kin, or they can be provided by the neighbor and the significant neighbor. So what would be the input, the occupational therapy input in situations like this? Just like scenario number one, you do an ADL assessment, you've established that there is some difficulty, and you need to make sure that when the person is discharged home, that they're still able, or that there are still some provisions for them, particularly with shopping, and you need to establish that. And if that person might say, yes, the family will help me, that's one. Or you may have to do a liaison with the next of kin. You may have to do liaisons with the family, or you may have to do liaisons with the neighbor so that you are certain. Because sometimes patients themselves would just say anything, but really there's no guarantee that things will happen. They will say that family will help me, but in fact the family couldn't commit to helping because they live a good distance away, or the family is raising a family as well. So there you go. So scenario number two is discharge home, but with informal family support. And the input of occupational therapy on such a situation would be, again, to assess the ADLs, and you have to conduct some kind of contextual assessment, meaning the social context. You need to establish that kind of support. That's scenario number two. Discharge scenario number three, the person has no next of kin, for example, but they are independent, and they can be independent, but with some kind of difficulty. And what you have done is you've discharged the person home with adaptive aid. So that's discharge scenario number three. Discharge home with modified independence. Particularly, the patient needed to use adaptive aids. And this may be raised toilet seat, chair raisers, a perching stool, bath board, shower chair. These are the essential and very basic adaptive aids that are available for the patients. So that's discharge scenario number three. So what do you need to do in here? Again, you need to do an ADL assessment. You need to do a little bit of a retraining. And you have to order some adaptive aids through your local equipment services. And you need to do this as soon as possible because you are ensuring that the person is safe and you don't have time for any rehabilitation, for example. You don't have time to do inpatient rehabilitation in the acute hospital. So there you go. That's scenario number three, discharge home with adaptive aid. What would be a scenario number four would be discharge home with informal support and adaptive aid. So you just combine that. You need to liaise with the next of kin. Along with the patient, you need to get some adaptive aids in place as well. Scenario number five is discharge home with short-term care or reablement care. So what's the story behind the reablement care? So usually people will be discharged home. Back in the days, people can be discharged home. And if they're not yet at their optimum level, then they will be referred to a short-term therapy team. But what happens is because there's not a lot of occupational therapists or therapists about, what the government has done is they have put up the reablement care so that these reablement care has the ability to re-enable the person. So there's therapeutic goals and objectives. And it's also short term. So they made it like that. So the government then put on this reablement care services. Also, they were saying that these reablement care service is a service that was put in place because it is faster. It should be faster and it should get the person home sooner. So that's discharge scenario, I believe, number four now. For an occupational therapist then, what would you do? If you have a patient who is not coping and who would need some form of support, particularly with showering, particularly with dressing, then you need reablement care. The functional requirement for discharge home with reablement care is that the person should be safe with their mobility. They should be safe with their toilet hygiene. They should be safe calling for help. So they should be able to call for help. And they're not confused that they can call for help if it is required. You do the ADL assessment. You do the ADL retraining. And after the ADL assessment and ADL retraining, you need to do a functional status report so that this functional status report can be given to the local social services or to your social worker, who will then request for this reablement care. For people to have reablement care, they need a functional status report, and occupational therapists are the ones in the position to make those functional status report. Also, we have to equip these carers with the necessary moving and handling equipment that is required by the patient as well. So apart from the functional status report and ADL retraining, the occupational therapist may have to order and request for adaptive aids as well, particularly moving and handling equipment. So that is scenario number five, if I'm not mistaken. If, for example, the person is medically optimized and they're doing their standing and their walking and their toilet hygiene, sometimes the doctors will discharge the person home straight away. And what they will do is they'll have, this is most recent, so this is in the last 5 years, I believe, the most recent services out there, which is faster than reablement care, this would have been the discharge to assess service. So the discharge to assess, meaning that the occupational therapist in the community or some of the occupational therapists in the hospital, they have been moved to the community and they will sort out the equipment, they will sort out the carers. So that's another discharge scenario. And usually, people in the discharge process will just be notified that this person will be discharged. And it's up for them to accept that they say, yes, they can actually see the person. So that's another discharge scenario with some kind of discharge to assess. Now, I have my own beef with the discharge to assess service. I know for a fact that the reason why that's been put in place is because OTs are not there quick enough. We are not fast enough to address the needs of the patient. And we have always been avoiding seeing patients when they're not yet medically optimized in the hospital. As soon as they reach the medical optimization, the doctors would say, you know what? Just do the assess at home, discharge them. And I'm discharging them, you assess them at home. But they're guaranteeing that obviously these people will be discharged safely. So that's discharge scenario number 6 with discharge to assess, in which case the discharge to assess people will either put in reablement care or would either put in some kind of adaptive aids as well. Okay, so discharge scenario number 7 is discharging a person to outside the hospital and into an interim facility. For example, they don't want to label this as a rehab unit, but technically these are facilities outside the hospital where the patient is medically optimized, but the patient is not yet functionally safe to go home. And the reason and the markers for functional safety would be a person's ability to mobilize safely, a person's ability to wipe their bottom, and a person's ability to call for help and that they are not confused. So this would be, again, it will take many forms. It could be intermediate care. It could be rehabilitation bed. It could be community assessment bed. It can be optimization bed. It could be convalescence bed. They have many names for this. So this is discharge scenario number 7. 8. So discharge into another facility external to the trust that you are working. And what do you need to do here? Again, it's the same thing. You need to make your assessment. You need to perform a functional status analysis and functional status review. And you need to know what the goals are so that you can discharge the person to the facility and making sure that the person has a target so that once these targets and functional targets are achieved, then the person can actually be discharged home. So that's discharge scenario number 8. Discharge scenario number 9 would be discharge home with adaptive aid, may or may have some equipment, but with community therapy team follow-up for rehabilitation rather than for care. For example, those people that would have false referral, for people that needed some follow-up assessment at home in terms of their shower, the accessibility. So it's community rehab or community team follow-up. So that's another discharge scenario where you have to consider. And if you're going to do it that way, the same things again. You'll have to make an assessment. You'll have to make that referral to the community team. And it depends as to which team is suitable. Right? And are there any other discharge scenarios? Yes, there are some people that cannot be discharged home safely. And if that is the case, back in the days, and there may still be some hospitals out there that will have to rely on this, they discharge straight to a care home or to a nursing home because they can't be safely discharged home. But nowadays, there are emergence of the community assessment beds, and all these community assessment beds are geared towards alleviating the pressure of the hospital or from the hospital, making sure that the hospital does its job of looking after patients and looking after the medical needs of the patients. If the person's not safe, they needed to be placed, they go to another facility. Again, you have to look as to which facility is suitable. You'll have to talk with discharge planning team. You'll have to talk with the social workers. You need to have a proper discharge plan in place. And again, from an occupational therapist perspective, it is your duty to make that functional status assessment, functional status review. You have to keep an eye or make a functional prognosis, prognostication of the functional abilities of the patient. So those are the things that you needed to do. Okay, are there any other discharge scenarios? Yes, for example, a person may just be discharged to their children's house, to a family member's house. That's another discharge scenario. If that is the case, it's just like the first few case scenarios where the person would be discharged with informal support. And as long as they can manage the standing, the walking, they can manage the stairs, they can wipe their bottom, they can shower, then they can be discharged safely. All right? Are there any more discharge scenarios? Ah, yes. One that we are forgetting. If, for example, a person is not yet medically optimized, and you are in a district hospital and the person is not local, you're a very specialist hospital, then you are likely to discharge this person to their local district hospital, their district general hospital, particularly if they have ongoing medical needs. So yes, that's another scenario. If you are working in a quaternary care facility, specialist rehab unit, specialist head injury unit, spinal cord injury unit, burns unit, heart hospital, things like that, the quaternary care facility, then a discharge scenario would be that your patients can be discharged to a district general hospital. Another discharge scenario would be a person being discharged to another, to a specialist care facility or specialist center. That's another discharge scenario. Like, for example, if you're working in a district general hospital and there is talk about the patient being transferred over to another facility, like a specialist heart and lung unit for ongoing work, then that is the situation. In that case, if you're working in that district general hospital, you have at least a professional commitment to inform the receiving trust of what the person is doing, at least share some information. That would be a good professional ethics where you pass on some information to your colleagues. But in practice, what's happening is once there is an awareness that the person would be transferred to the other hospital, everybody else steps back. Yeah. And they don't do anything until the person is transferred over to that another care facility or the quaternary care facility. In which case, when that happens, the person would have deteriorated so bad because sometimes the wait is taking about 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and it would have deconditioned the person so much. So your responsibility as therapist, if you are discharging the person to a quaternary care facility, is to do some maintenance and preventative therapy so that the person will not deteriorate functionally and their physical abilities will not deteriorate and decline. There you go, guys. So, have we tapped and discussed on all other discharge scenarios? Oh, I know. Another one would be a person can be discharged with a restart of care package. So if that's the case, sometimes you will need to establish whether the care package that the person has or the one that they have doesn't get removed or taken away by social services. Sometimes it is a private care package. So in that case, again, you'll have to arrange it with family. You have to identify where are the carers coming from. Who is paying for those care? Is it the family or is it social services? Sometimes when a person is discharged out in the community, the problem with carers, the problem is that after a few days, the community services, the ones that are funding for the care, they pull out the carers and they delegate that to another person in need in the community. Therefore, the person would be losing their care package. And if that's the case, then we'll have to request for a restart of care package. And if that is the case, you can either just wait for them in the hospital, discharge home with the restart of care package, which means you'll have to get to do another functional status report. You'll have to inform the social workers. You'll have to work with the discharge planning team so that all of the necessary requirements and the all necessary paperwork is completed. And then you can ask for the care package. So that's one scenario where you have to do that. Or if it will take time and the hospital has some form of support from local community units, then people can be transferred to the community units while waiting for a restart of care package. Another discharge scenario is that a person would be discharged home with palliative care support, meaning they need to have carers, they need to have hospital bed, they need to have all the nursing situation that they needed or all the nursing support that they needed. This is called fast track discharge. If that's the case, sometimes it is so much faster because it's near end of life and it's the palliative care team that does it. What's good about this is that there are nurses that are waiting out in the community. You don't have to insist on getting commodes or on getting like a special chair or a hoist, because once the person is at home, these fast-track support services out in the community are really fast and should be fast and should be able to access the things that the person need. So really, it's a matter of where and when the person is going to be discharged, and it's a matter of time because the lifespan is getting shorter and shorter, perhaps because of a deteriorating condition. Are there any other discharge options out there? I was thinking. Perhaps not, but if I can think about it, we'll put it in the footnote or I'll make another episode. I hope you enjoyed this session, guys. Until next time. Bye.